Embrace the Word for Monday, April 20, 2026. Embracing Psalm 52. Psalm 52 is a statement of confidence amid perilous adversity. The superscription offers important historic details. To the choirmaster, a maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Psalm 52 corresponds to 1 Samuel 21-22. While on the run from Saul, David has fled to Ahimelech, a priest in Israel. Ahimelech was under the impression that David was on a mission for Saul and provided David with food and weapons. However, Doeg, an Edomite and loyalist to Saul, reported that David had received help from Ahimelech. Therefore, Saul ordered Doeg to slaughter Ahimelech and all the priests of Nob, as well as their families. Psalm 52 entails David's response to this sheer wickedness. Psalm 52 shares a few common links with Psalm 51. Both Psalms speak of the steadfast love of God, 51:1, 52:1 and 8. Each Psalm touches on the use of the tongue, 51:14, 52:2 through 4 and 19. Psalm 52 opens in the second person, addressing the adversity, 52:1 through 5, then switches to the third person concerning the righteous, 52:6 through 7, before concluding in the first person as David speaks of himself. Psalm 52 begins by aggressively addressing Doeg and evil men like him. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? 52:1. David expresses with astonishment why the evil boast of their evil. The evil are proud of themselves. They are so proud of the evil that they perform that they feel compelled to publicize their wicked exploits. It seems that David invokes a sarcastic scorn by addressing Doeg as a mighty man. David truly knew what a mighty man looked like, and while the evil may boast mightily, they are empty shells of men. Neither Doeg nor the evil are valiant. It takes little might to carry out the slaughter that Doeg inflicted. But David gives reasons why the bragging of the wicked is short-lived. The steadfast love of God endures all day. 52:1. Evil boasting will come to an abrupt end, for God's steadfast love will never be upended by the evil dogs of the world and their kind. David confronts and exposes the actions and intentions of evildoers. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. Selah. You love all the words that devour, O deceitful tongue. 52:2-4. David focuses on the words of the evil. In the case of Doeg, he was more than willing to report to Saul about the whereabouts and actions of David. Doeg's words led to plotting destruction against the priests of Nob and their families. Doeg's deceitfulness was shown in his professed loyalty to Saul, but Doeg's designs were simply murderous. And why did Doeg practice deceitful, destructive words? Because he loved it. The mouth was simply speaks out of the overflow of the heart. See Matthew 12:34. Our words are inevitably consistent with our hearts. David emphatically warns Doeg, but God will break you down forever. He will snatch you and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. Selah 52:5. Mighty as he thinks he might be, Doeg will not survive the might of the Lord. Much like the demolition of walls around a city, the Lord promises to break you down forever. The evil will be snatched away, torn from their tents and removed. The Lord will quickly burst into where the wicked reside and snatch them up and haul them away. The Lord will judge the wicked. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. The way of the wicked will perish. See Psalm 1, 4 and 6. Since David believed that, he could entrust Doeg to be dealt with by the Lord. As David is sure about the vengeance that evildoers like Doeg will face, he turns and records the response of the righteous. The righteous shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him, saying, "See the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and sought refuge in his own destruction." 52:6-7. When the righteous see the judgment that the Lord places upon the wicked, they will fear and laugh. The proper response to seeing judgment inflicted is holy awe and reverence, as we realize with a fresh awareness that God really does act in righteousness. When Ananias and Sapphira were struck down by God for their deceit, great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. See Acts 5:11. Not only will the righteous grow in the fear of the Lord, they will also rejoice in the implementation of righteousness. The notion of the righteous laughing should not be taken as vindictiveness. Such vindictiveness is forbidden. See Proverbs 24:17. But the righteous should delight in the triumph of justice. It is a good thing when the likes of Doeg, who murdered men, women, children, and infants, are stopped. Justice is a thing to rejoice in. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. See Revelation 18:20. The Lord who sits in the heavens laughs. See Psalm 2:4. The fate of all who reject the Lord and trust in themselves will be a display of justice. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his days is coming. See Psalm 37:13. It should be pointed out that such clear statements as to both the Lord's just actions and the response of the Lord's people to his actions are truths that are provided before judgment is implemented. These descriptions provide the wicked with an opportunity to repent. It is a kindness to the wicked that they are confronted with the fact that if they do not repent, their demise will not be mourned. But the justice of God will be celebrated. All who hear the news about you clap their hands over you. See Nahum 3:19. Finally, David testifies of his trust in the Lord. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. 52:8. Unlike the wicked, who will be uprooted from the land, 52:5, David describes himself in the language of Psalm 1 as a flourishing tree in God's house. A hardy, fruitful tree thrives because it is deeply rooted in the enriched soil supplied by ample water. Such is a life enriched by the presence of the Lord, supplied by the Word of God. The steadfast love of the Lord sustained David's faith, and such faith enabled a life of fruitful obedience. David's faith also gave rise to gratitude. I will thank you forever, because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. 52:9. Confidence in the Lord and his plans, purposes, and promises expresses itself in praise, and such confidence will also sustain a heart to patiently wait. For while the righteous wait, they can remember that they are the godly, that is, the ones marked by the steadfast love of God. As we reflect on Psalm 52, we can consider the hostility and persecution that the church suffers. In between the fact that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, see Matthew 28:18, and the fact that one day every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, see Philippians 2:10-11, the church will suffer at the hands of the wicked. After the martyrdom of Stephen, there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. See Acts 8:1-3. When the church is persecuted, two truths must be kept in the forefront of our minds. First, it is Christ himself who takes note of her persecution. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." See Acts 9:4-5. Second, Christ will sustain his people amid any persecution. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. See 2 Corinthians 4:7-10. That's all for Embrace the Word for Monday, April 20, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Wednesday, April 22, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word, as we take a look at Psalm 53.